Hi there. This is Ken from the Street Fighter games. You know, Ken. I guess I'm the arch rival of Ryu? I don't know. I'm the American guy. And check me out in my sweet red gi that I wear in every game. Well, Street Fighter V's coming, and gosh dang it, that'll be me again. So look for me. But before then, it's the holidays, and you're sitting around thinking to yourself, I don't know what to give Scott and the Boop Show for a gift. Well, I have the perfect idea for you, and it's this simple. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and give a tiny bit of money every month for all the entertainment you're getting right now for free. So believe me, Ken, when I say, yeah, donate. This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for December 15th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. Whoop. Welcome back to the show. It is time for the Boop Show. Boop! Oh, man. Dragon Age. That game is good. The game of Dragon Age is good. Playing it on the PC, for those who asked last week, I guess I didn't make it clear. PC version. Yeah, I downloaded it on freaking Origin. It's fine. It's kind of harmless if you're not, you know, if you're just interested in a few EA games here and there, it's not that big a deal. It's fine. And it's the only way you can get it. So it's not like I can go on Steam and buy that game anyway. Yeah, that game's really great. And I'm super into it. And I don't want it to ever go away. So I'm just going to keep playing it until I'm sick of it. Okay? That's what I'm going to do. But I did take a break from that in my gaming time. A little bit of WoW, a little bit of other stuff. Ran a couple of riffs in Diablo. Doing my normal thing, right? But decided to take some time and play again for the second time. Papers, Please, this time on the iPad. It was previously available on Steam and PCs, and I want to say that game came out, what, late 2012? Maybe early 13? My memory is a little shifty on that, on those details. But a tablet is where this game sort of always belonged. The touch controls are so much better for what you do in the game. And there was that big controversy where Apple, out of hand, censored it because it had nudity, but then they came back and apologized and said, yeah, contextually, this isn't the same as the kind of nudity we're trying to ban. It's fine. So now there's a new version. There's an update out that has the nudity there. You can still turn it off in the game if you're concerned about that. I don't think there's a game for your kids anyway, no matter what. The nudity was never sexual. It was just straight up kind of terrible because these people are being scanned and their human rights violated by the horrible country that you're a border patrol agent or a border agent for. It's too hard to explain here. If you don't know what Papers, Please is, go read up on it because it's a fascinating game. It asks all kinds of moral questions. I've never had a game quite do that to me in this way before, at least not in a very long time. But enough freaking trolls out there saying, oh, it's just a propaganda piece for the Tea Party. No, it isn't. I don't even like the Tea Party, and I know it isn't that. You couldn't be more wrong about this game. So whoever you are, here's what I've learned. Can I tell you what I've learned over the last few days? Sometimes people with the strongest opinion about something or the most allegiance to something are the people that know the least about it. Have you seen that? I've learned that firsthand. The more hardcore, the more you dig your feet in, the more certain you are that your side is right, the less you actually know about it. That seems counterintuitive. But it's not. Here's something else counterintuitive. I played Destiny again. And I said I wasn't going to do it. And I thought, you know what? It's been patched a few times since I last tried. I'll just get in there. I'll do that story mission I didn't like when I got out months ago. Let's just go in again. Let's see what's up. And I didn't like it. And I quit mid-match because I am so bored by that game. I don't find it fun. I find the controls and kind of the actual combat not too bad, but the pacing of how they feed you enemies and the way those enemies react and its reliance on headshots and just bleh. I want to like it, you guys. I really want to like it. Patrick, if you're listening, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. You guys were wrong about Jerry Lewis, and you're wrong. You're wrong about Destiny. And I he knows I'm kidding. But I know that games are, you know, games are for people who want to play them, right? There are plenty of people wanting to play Destiny. I besmirch them not at all. They're all fine human beings. I guess the game isn't, it's just not for me. Maybe I loved Borderlands, all of them. Maybe those are for somebody, those are for me, and this is for something, somebody else. It's fine that we don't all love the same games. It's fine. It's okay. Relax. Good hell. Get into the nitty-gritty of the day. It's Monday, by the way. Did I say that? I think I did. Episode 37, man. We're cooking right along with this show. Sony wants to make a Mario Brothers movie, and they may have just gotten the rights to it. This is crazy talk. Not just because it's Sony, right? Everybody, and Sony Pictures, by the way, it's very, very important to remember that they are not the same as the video game arm, or the TV arm, or the stereo arm, or most of the other arms. They're one arm of Sony. Of the big behemoth monster that is Sony, one arm makes video games, another arm does other things, right? They're like the Vishnu. Is that the big multi-armed thing that Apu is all into in The Simpsons? Vishnu, the many arms of Vishnu? It's like that. Anyway, Nintendo and Sony Pictures appear to have maybe closed a deal for the film rights for Super Mario Brothers video game franchise movie thing. This is according to BuzzFeed, and this is based on the recent Sony leaked emails from that giant hack, the Sony Pictures hack. And there were some congratulatory emails. These were between Ave Arad and Sony studio chief Amy Pascal about closing the deal and plans for the franchise. In the emails, they seem to suggest that TriStar Pictures would have been the thing, and it would have been an animated film. Makes perfect sense. We're not talking about going back to the live-action nightmare of before. This would be like Pixar-level, you know, Sony Animation Studios-looking stuff, which is great. I'm all in for this. I'm super in for this, actually. In a 2013 interview, by the way, as a side note, Miyamoto told Polygon he never wanted to license out the company's characters as someone else to create films. That was a bad idea back then, and he doesn't want to do it again. Apparently, that doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyway. And I'm actually okay with this. I think this is fine. I mean, who knows? I mean, final product, right? We need to see it. But the fact that they understand inherently that this needs to be animated is a smart move.
Yeah, Scott, this is Jesse calling back from the Raccoon City Dog Pound. Listen, man, I got bit by that raccoon dog just moments after I called you. I'm not feeling so good. Just wanted you to know what to take care. Love the show,
Boo. All right. Dude, be careful. Let us know. Keep us informed what happens next, okay? I want an up-to-date, I want an up-to-the-minute report on the ground or from the ground there where the action is, if you wouldn't mind. PlayStation Plus free games totaled more than $1,300 in value per subscription this year. That's a pretty good deal. Xbox Live gave away $584 worth of games in 2014. Both companies giving away games. I don't know why the disparity though. 1300 versus 584. Is it just that I know Sony drug out a lot of older stuff and labeled it as, you know, crossplay and put it up on PS4. But I think this includes all devices. So this is PS4, PS3, Vita, and Microsoft's includes Xbox One and 360. So my guess is some of this is offset by what would the game cost also on Vita, even if it was crossplay. So if you got Sony All-Star Fighters, whatever that thing was called, what was that called? Anyway, that was free for like a month. Did that include, or did they basically double the price? They say, oh yeah, 15 here and then 15 there. Or is it just counted once? I don't know. The disparity seems a little high to me, but whatever. They'd like you to see their service as a bargain, obviously. And this exact number is $1,349.29. And that's just in North America. In Europe, that's 960 $1.64. Well, I guess that's in pounds, or is that euros? Anyway, it's interesting, right? I mean, this is a new wave of thinking for these companies and others to give stuff away to keep you loyal to who they are and what they're doing. I, for one, like it. I like it a lot. So let's talk more about this iPad version of Papers, Please. It got nudity restored. It sounds so crazy, but if you understand the context of the game, it makes perfect sense. I mean, imagine like those scanners that the TSA uses where you can kind of see your junk and stuff. It's like that in this game. People are being scanned against their will, sometimes detained because they may be trying to smuggle in something, even if it isn't contraband or a bomb or something. Something strapped to their leg, you detain them, off go the guards, you never see that person again. So, yeah, it's interesting to me, the difference between those two kinds of use cases and Apple doing what they did. I think they just did it by the numbers to start with, kind of robotically, then realized their error. And I take them at their word on the apology. It's like, yeah, this has artistic merit. This is different. And then went back. And I agree with them 100% on that. Whether or not they, you know, you can get all conspiratorial if you want to confirm whatever bias you might have, but I'll take all parties at their word. And the developer, Lucas Pope, seems very happy with the release and the launch, and it's totally worth your $5. So I recommend it. Go play it. Get it. Call of Duty sales fall. What? They've fallen for the third straight year. This is according to yesterday's NPD report. It was a Piper Jaffray analyst, Michael Olson. He has pointed out that retail sales for Call of Duty have declined 27% year over year. Ooh. Right? I mean, even Activision has said that in their earnings call. But this new one has attracted less than half the monthly sales, or half the month sales, of 2011's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. So they are at this stage of the selling date till now, compared to 2011 same period, they've sold half as many as Modern Warfare 3. This makes me sad, and I'll tell you why. Well, number one, even half is it's funny because it's half of a lot of sales. So people would kill to have the half number, right? But they don't want to go lower. So I understand why they're upset about it, or why they might be upset about it, or why they might have to rethink what they do with it in the future. But my point is, here's the year where they actually try to do something different. And, you know, maybe too little too late. Maybe this should have been the effort a couple of years ago. Maybe 2012, 2013, this should have been the thing they did. But regardless, people, you know, not buying it as much. It's still the highest selling digital launch in console history. But that doesn't compare to what they've done in the past in terms of overall sales. All very sad. But whatever. I'm happy that the game is better than it's ever been and that they tried something different. And we should celebrate that by supporting it. Okay? We should. If it's a good game, play it. If it's not, we shouldn't buy it. Like Modern Warfare 3, I don't think was very good. There, I said it.
This is Blair, the app review guy. I'm calling in because I have a question for you. My wife and I are planning on having kids soon, and one of my biggest fears is not being able to control myself, I guess, to spend enough time playing games and spending time with my family. It's really important for me to spend time with my family, but I want to be able to play my video games because that's a hobby of mine, right? Anyways, thanks.
Boop. You should, okay, take it from a dad of three who's been at this for a while and has played video games the entire time, okay? I have been way into it the entire time that I have had children. And know that when they start to get old enough to comprehend these things, they're going to be having fun right there with you. So don't stress too much about that. But when they're little and they need the most care, you need to spend as much time with your family as you can. The other thing will take care of itself. There will be time. It may not be as much time as you want or as much as you're used to. It's okay. Invest in that family side first and do it early, because later on, that pays off. And eventually you will have a lot more time to play games, and you'll want to play them with them. And your son will come to you and say, Dad, I really want to get Trials Fusion. It's only $10. What can I do as a job to earn $10 so I can play that game? And you can have these kind of learning moments with your kids and help them understand what it means to, you know, play a game, play them responsibly, pick good content. Like, it's just it's a good part of parenting. It sure can be. Why not? It's a huge part of our culture now. Why not make it part of how we raise our kids? So you'll be fine, man. You got this. I'm not worried about you. You're all good. Borderlands Remastered Edition, listed by Australian Ratings Board. Oh, that's interesting. We're talking about the first one, right? Remastered Edition, listed as an MA 15 plus multi-platform rating. Notes that Gearbox Software and 2K Australia are the authors of said game. They were approached. A spokesman said, "We have made no announcements and have nothing to state at this time." I don't think it would be that crazy to see a re-release of the trilogy, like a bundle, for example, PS4, Xbox One, PC, put on all that DLC, call it the ultimate grab bag, whatever you're going to call it. Sure, dude. Nice price tag. Do it for $49, the whole schmear. You can keep selling more Borderlands. Not really that fond of one, though. I like two a lot better. I know I'm kind of opposite. A lot of people liked one better than two. I thought two was better than the first game. If you disagree with me, I would like you to get in touch with me and tell me why you disagree with me. Speaking of Call of Duty, that and Destiny have topped 2014's console sales in the U.S. So again, doing well enough to be in the top slot there. So this is all Activision, by the way. They own both. Activision's strategy of heavy investment in small groups of franchises have resulted in the company having two of the top-selling games of the year. Advanced Warfare and Destiny were the number one and two games, respectively. So Advanced Warfare is the number one selling console game. Despite being only halfway to where they were in 2011. I don't know what that... There's probably some math you could do there to say that console sales are down in general, but I don't know. And that, I assume, is all platforms because they have this, you know, they have the other versions for other older game or older machines. Same with Destiny. And, of course, they've got that whole Skylanders Trap Team crap going on. I mean, they're pretty much, they own the store right now. And, of course, Blizzard doing much better now with the back up to 10 million subscribers to World of Warcraft, Hearthstone kicking it with 20 million registered viewers, Warlords of Draenor reviewing extremely well. Like, you couldn't be doing much better than Activision right now. No matter what you think about them, you got to be impressed with how they're kind of pulling this off.
Hey, Scott, John, Sean from Minnesota here. Just curious, what's your highest score on Crossy Road? Thanks. Boop.
150. That's as much as I've been able to do. And I've been banging my head against my portable media device ever since because I cannot seem to get there again. I've seen some people calling me out on Twitter saying they're at like 250 and 300. I don't know how they're doing that. They are insane people. But I had the same feeling earlier today. I fired up. So long story short, I got some big 15-foot micro USB cables so that when my PS4 controllers die, because those batteries freaking suck in those things, I have just a big long cable and I don't have to worry about it. So I got those on monoprice for like $1.50 each. It was total steal. So for like $5, I got four cables, shipping included. It was a brilliant move. Anyway, so I was just testing those out. And I also wanted to see, does it still use the Bluetooth, whatever, or does it go straight over the cable, which means I should have less latency compared to Bluetooth. Sure enough, it felt a little tighter. But the point is, I got into freaking Geometry Wars 3, and I'm getting my ass handed to me by people I know, by friends I know, in modes where I was sure I maxed it out for all I could get. There was no way I could have performed better. And there, you know, I'll look at my score and go, yeah, 4 million, baby, beat that. And then I'll look up the leaderboard and one of my friends is at 14 million. What am I doing wrong in that game? I must be bad. It's one of those games where I think I'm good and I'm actually bad. Ugh. Anyway, Crossy Road, still a threat, still awesome. Freaking love that thing. Scrolls shuffles out of beta and cuts its cost to $5. This is that turn-based strategy card, collectible card hoo-ha from Mojang, the Minecraft people. And it's on PC, Mac, and Android tablets with an iPad version expected to arrive sometime shortly after the first of the year. And, you acquire spells, you earn gold, enchantments, strategy-boosting goodies, that sort of stuff. It's been in beta since January of last year. or sorry, June. I want to say June of 2013, not January of this year. Summer of last year for $20. And they've officially dropped it to $5. So I don't know what that means. I guess if you already bought it, that you'll receive a shared package giving those players the ability to purchase decks, avatars, new scrolls, other stuff without any additional cost. Because there is kind of a free-to-play model attached to that as well. Anyway, freemium or whatever it is. Ugh, freaking hate that term. But good on them for finally getting it out, dude. Geez, what the hell are you sitting on that for so long? What are you doing with all your Minecraft money? Nintendo is saying the amiibo shortage is real, but they have an official quote about it. Okay, this has been a big stinker for the last couple of weeks. Quote, some amiibo, I guess is that the plural? Some amiibo were very popular at launch, and it is possible that some amiibo in the United States, Canada, and Latin America may not be available right now due to high demand and our efforts to manage shelf space during the launch period. Certain sold-out amiibo may return to these markets at a later stage. We are continually aiming to always have regular supply of amiibo in the marketplace, that there may always be waves of amiibo to come. That is the most epic sounding quote translation thing of all time.
Hey, Scott, it's Brandon from Texas. Oh, wait, no, I'm in Colorado now. That's right. Call me for the Boop Show. Want to know what's up with your hate of Dragon Age 2? It's not perfect, but it's still a good game. Boop.
No, it's not. It's not a good game at all. They repeat all the dungeons. Everything looks the same. It's set in the same city. Some of the characters are cool. It's not a very good game, though. They were trying to arcade that thing up too much, and they blew it. They swung way too far that direction. Way too linear, way too closed down, way too many load screens. It was not a good game. Inquisition, hell of a game. Back on track, baby. Like they never left. The legless, speaking of amiibos, the legless Princess Peach amiibo has sold for $25,100 on eBay. It's a defective, still in the package, okay, for all you mint condition nuts out there. This is a Princess Peach amiibo, over 25K. It was a bidding war that lasted over a week, 109 offers. She's missing her legs. I guess the deal was it was just a weird glitch, right? That's how these collectibles become collectibles. Something like, remember the old GI, there was a GI Joe back in the day when I was a kid, I heard about it, where the thumbnails were, or all the fingernails were printed on the inside of their fingers where their fingerprint should be. So they're basically opposite side of each finger. And that's super hard to find now or something. It's the same deal. It's like we're living in 1979 again. How are you guys feeling about that? You all right with that? 79, baby. All right, we got some emails to get through. By the way, the phone calls that we take on the show, you hear all the time on the show, are coming to us at 801-471-0462. 801-471-0462. Or send your emails and MP3 attachments, short and sweet, please, to boopshow@gmail.com. Some of your emails are so long, there's no way I can read them. I mean, I read them, but I can't put them on the show. So keep it short, man. I got an email from, Rich in St. Louis. I wish I was rich in St. Louis, if you know what I'm saying. He says, Scott, with DLC a way of life in gaming, is it time for everyone to stop complaining about it? Says Rich in St. Louis. Boop! No. All right, I'm going to use a comparison here that's not really fair and totally out of context, but I think it kind of applies. If you were like you were in Nazi Germany and you were witnessing certain terrible things happening, would you just go, well, it's a way of life now. It's how it is here in Germany. So we need to quit complaining about it. No, I'm not trying to compare DLC and business practices surrounding DLC directly to Nazi Germany. Okay. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am saying is, like anything where you're being treated poorly, you shouldn't just accept it. You should complain. You should strike. You should demonstrate. You should let yourself be known. So no, until DLC makes the most sense for the consumer, then we should complain. Why wouldn't we? And I don't see people stopping anytime soon. Got another email from Peter in PA. That's Pennsylvania. Not Padawan, Alaska. Says this, Hey, Scott, I've been thinking about the Amiibos lately. Oh, back on the Amiibos. He should say, I've been thinking about Amiibo lately, because we now know what the plural is. And I believe that they are doomed to failure long term. Nintendo says that other developers will be able to use them, but after seeing how Nintendo is handling them, I would steer clear if I was a developer. If the limited runs and retailer exclusive Amiibos are going to be the norm, then there's really not much incentive to buy those new, or sorry, to support those ones as a dev. And if you don't support all of them, then there's really not much point in supporting any of them, because that would cause consumer confusion. Just my opinion. Love the show. Boop. Peter from PA. Yeah, it's a good point. I don't think they care. I think after seeing this initial rush to get them and how well they've sold, I don't think Nintendo cares who supports them. I think they're just going to make a ton of money on these things. And if you think about it, Nintendo hardware these days, it's all exclusive. It's a Nintendo game machine. It's not a third-party game machine. It hasn't been for a while. So do they really care? Because the games that will matter most are ones they're making for their platform. I mean, the ones that sell the most on their platform are the ones people care about, and those are Nintendo titles. The third-party stuff, nobody really cares about. I hate to say it, but it's true. So, yeah, Nintendo's got this, dude. Whether we like how they're handling it or not, they've got it. Oh, man, we're out of here. Big thanks to everybody for listening. Keep the show cranking over there at patreon.com/frogpants. Really, really appreciate it. $1 a month, man. Just imagine how easy that is, but how much of a difference it makes. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Once again, our phone number, 801-471-0462. And follow us on Twitter at Boopshow. It's also some really cool stuff at the Frog Pants store right now. Game-related cool things. So go check those out as well at frogpants.com/store. We're going to leave you now with another song. This was recommended to us from Nick. He said it is, well, he's listed here as Ami Evil's Diablo Remix Wet Grass Inspired. It's basically a Diablo-themed inspired remix over there at ocremix.org, who, by the way, I think just celebrated their 15th year. I think that's right. Is it 10 years? Maybe it's 10 years. Well, whatever. They've been around for a long time making rad stuff, and you guys should definitely check them out. Thanks for all your continued submissions and recommendations for music. We will get to most of them, actually. But I'm going to do Nick's today. It is Diablo Wet Grass Inspired from OC Remix and Ami Evil's remix of the Wet Grass Inspired. It's a strange name. Anyway, we'll be back on, let's see, Thursday with a brand new episode. So come on back now, you hear?
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, Ceramic Destroyer. Are you tired of all the holiday shopping yet? Is the Christmas spirit just getting to be too happy? Have no fear, Ceramic Destroyer is here. Hey, don't get me wrong, I love all the peace on earth, goodwill to men, jingle bells, reindeer crap, but sometimes you just need to blow some stuff up. Ceramic Destroyer is a game for both iOS and Android devices. The goal of the game is to destroy ceramic pieces in each level. It has an Angry Birds type vibe. The more you destroy, the more stars you earn. You have different types of bombs that you use to destroy the different ceramic pieces on each level. There are far too many bombs to go over each one, but they all have a unique characteristic that make each level a challenge. Each level also has different ceramic pieces. One level you can be blowing up an easy to destroy Christmas tree, and the next you'll be trying as hard as you can to get that last little sliver to blow up off of a butterfly. It's not a hard game, as you can easily destroy 90% of the level your first go around, but you'll find yourself being more of a completionist than anything else. The hardest part of the game is trying to completely blow up 100% of the level. This is not the type of game that I would sit around and play for hours on end. It's more of a whip it out, play a few levels, put it away type of game. Good for waiting in line for Santa or even waiting for your pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks. I would give Ceramic Destroyer a 6 out of 10 because it lacks the polish of a well-produced game, but the playstyle is heading in the right direction. Feel free to tell me what you think or tell me a game you think I should review by contacting me on Twitter at BlairCan. That's all I have for you today. Until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming. Boop!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.